You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Repack for Acme Packing Company. I'm Justice Mosqueda. I'm joined here by Evan Tex Western. Say what's up to people, Tex.
Hey, last week I was gone. I was out on vacation. I was out in the middle of nowhere with no cell signal during the Packers' loss to the Jets, and I figured that was going to be a nice, good mental health day for me and come back and beat up on a bad Washington team and hopefully get things right. And boy, was I wrong. Today was rough. Today was even rougher, I think, than I would have felt after last week, in a way.
Yes. Yeah. We've had a terrible 4-game stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey Zappe, third-string quarterback, took them to overtime. And then losses to Daniel Jones at ungodly hours in the morning, Zach Wilson, and now Taylor Heinicke, who we signed him in the XFL. We tried to get him as a starting quarterback, and they would not take him. So he was a backup quarterback for the St. Louis Battlehawks. We lost him, man. Oh, my goodness.
To be fair, the Taylor Heinicke that was there in the first half looked like a guy who should not have been starting in the XFL.
Yes.
Taylor Heinicke, second half, different story. But, I am coming out of this game feeling like there were, like, 8 plays in that first half that if the Packers make any of those 8 plays, this is a totally different game. And they made one of those, and they needed like one more, right? We had the Devondre Campbell pick 6, which was great. And that gave us a little bit of a boost, and we were all kind of, all right, feeling good about the defense. But they had, what, 3 or 4 picks go right through their hands in the first half. Rasul had at least 2. Jair, I think, had 1. And again, teams adjusting at halftime, and the Packers not. And they just come out and get crushed and give out, what, 20 straight points, I think it was at one point, to Washington. Yeah. Like, this is a coaching staff that really just does not seem like they have any idea how to adjust in game.
Which is crazy, because I've always felt like LaFleur's done a pretty good job of that, and he's done a good job of riding the hot hand, especially with offensive skill players. It's why you can get a guy like an Alan Lazard to develop into an Alan Lazard, because he's actually getting opportunities to do it, right? Or Robert Tonyan, something like that. Barry seemingly has struggled with that, right? Like the Detroit game last year, right? Where LaFleur basically has to yell at him at halftime and be like, we have to blitz him, because if Jared Goff is just sitting back there patting the ball, of course he's going to be able to complete some of these things. Like, that's who he is. I thought the defense did fine, but on the offensive side of the ball, I don't even know what you do. I mean, hopefully Bakhtiari comes back, which, like, that's a whole thing in and of itself. But, like, Rodgers was talking about, like, these wide receivers, they had, like, 8 different mess-ups in the game. And I just don't know how that's going to get better. I don't think trading for someone is going to make that any better, right? I mean, this is, like, a learning, like, a system thing. Like, this is just, like, a learning curve. That doesn't get better just because you add a more talented wide receiver. That guy also then has to learn plays. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see kind of how this plays out in the next week, because the Packers technically right now they have an open roster spot, right? They put 2 guys on IR, they put Cobb and Hansen on IR, and they activated Sammy Watkins from injured reserve. He began practicing with the team this week. Technically they have an open roster spot. They didn't call anywhere, they didn't move anyone up from the practice squad to the active roster today. But it'll be interesting to see. We had this conversation in the APC Slack, like, should they be buyers or sellers? And I really don't know at this point, because, like, maybe they should be sellers. Maybe you should try to get what you can out of.
Yeah.
I mean, Amos, it doesn't seem like they're going to keep Amos, right? Lowry, if anyone wants Lowry.
Oh, take him.
Have fun. and then, like, I don't know. Are you going to give Elgton Jenkins a super contract? Because if not, you should get something back for him.
Yep. Well, and think about it too, is there's one more game before between now and the trade deadline. That game is on Sunday night at Buffalo next Sunday. That's there is no way that the team that came out these last three games, the way they looked, has any chance of hanging with Buffalo, let alone beating them. Now, again, we've seen Packers teams surprise and do crazy things before, but there's absolutely nothing that leads me to think that's a possibility here. So why would you be a buyer if you're going to be going into the trade deadline at 3-5? You've still got games against Dallas and Tennessee and at Philly on Sunday night coming out of the trade deadline. Then you've still got a Monday night game against the Rams. You know, the schedule just, this was supposed to be the easy stretch of the schedule. That's the worst part. Like we were talking about, this should be, you know, these are all three winnable games, and this team should be 5-2 or 6-1 going into that Buffalo game. And here we are sitting at 3-4. You said it a couple of weeks ago. This now comes down to a one game season for me, and it's beat McCarthy when he comes back to Lambeau, and yeah. Like, and then just, you know, see what else happens, and come back and figure out what the hell to do in the offseason.
I'm trying to look up right now the Packers Super Bowl odds are somehow still higher than the Giants. I can't believe that. Let me see if there's, I'm trying to see if I can get them in the playoffs or not. I don't think we can. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But okay. Division winners. Nope. That's not updated either. Dang it. This team is bad. I'm looking at this. That's all I got for you this week.
Yeah.
Next gen stats. I'm looking at the passing chart that they have. Oh. Like the player tracking stuff, right? Rodgers had 35 passes today for 194 yards. A lot of that was in the second half, right? I mean, the first half, how many yards did they combined had like 80 something.
Well, look, 51 of those yards came in those last two plays, the 30 yarder to True. Watkins and then the one to Tonyan. So in effect, before those two throws on those last 30 seconds, he had 33 attempts for 140 yards, essentially. Like that's, this is, I assumed that he would start to decline a little bit. I did not expect this level of decline this quickly from this quarterback. It just, it's unfathomable. And it's not just him, right? Like Tom Brady's going through a lot of the same stuff right now, it seems like. Yeah. They just lost an upset to an even worse Carolina team that just traded away like their only other good weapon or two on offense and still has no quarterback. So I mean, it's, I know it's going around, but that still, the fact that the NFC sucks does not make me feel any better about this.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, the team's going to be 3-5. It's going to be hard to make the playoffs at 3-5. I don't know mm-hmm. what that little, we look at that playoff chart early on in the season, right, to show you guys like going 0-2 just decimates your ability to make the playoffs. But 3-5, I know it's an uphill climb, even though there's seven teams now that make it in. Rodgers had two completions over 10 yards today in those 35 attempts. One was that throw to Tonyan over the middle. The other one was the touchdown. It's bad. And I don't think it's going to get better. And I don't know what you do. Because if you're losing the backup quarterbacks, what can you do? I mean, the defense played decent today.
Yeah. Yeah. The issue with the defense continues to be, can they get off the field between the 20s? Like the red zone defense was the big deal last year, right? Anytime a team got in the red zone, they were scoring a touchdown. This year, that's not the case. They're forcing a ton of field goals, but they just can't get off the field and force punts unless they have, you know, a holding penalty on the offense or a sack or something. If there's any sort of sustained drives, they're just not getting it done. And I don't know where the fix is for that other than like fixing the run defense, which clearly is not going to happen this year. Like they just don't have the personnel for it. And it's the same issues, you know, week after week that we see on defense. But again, to your point, that wasn't the reason this team lost this game. There were some missed opportunities in the first half, but you look at Amari fumbling a punt again. You just keep looking at this offense. What I want to know is there something about the LaFleur Shanahan tree, or is it just a LaFleur thing, that a straight drop back passing game is impossible within this scheme, right? Like, that's been the problem in the losses that we've had in the LaFleur era, is when they get in third and longs or they get behind and they have to just go to the drop back passing game, that it doesn't work and the offense bogs down and then Rodgers goes a little hero ball. So how do you fix that? Like, is that just simply a schematic thing that you've built this team around the play action pass and the run game and now the RPOs and you just don't have a way to run that drop back game? I don't know.
It's something to look into, because I mean, they were terrible on third down today. I saw, what was it, the first time since like 1999 that they didn't convert a third down.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's pre-Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs was like, yeah, he was negative years old at that point. Just a lot of weird things in this game. I thought they were doing a pretty good job of doing the pin and pull stuff. And they were having those toss sweeps too. I thought the run game wasn't as bad as it looked like on paper. Obviously, there was that like big lull in like the second quarter and stuff where it looked like they couldn't get anything going. But early on in the game, they busted a pin and pull out. And then later in the game, they were able to move the ball a little bit. I don't know. Tamari Toure got a start.
Yeah.
He hadn't played in a game yet. What the heck are we doing? I don't.
That'll be interesting. Like, I'll be curious if you look back at like the drive starter, right? You talk about that a lot, that they do weird stuff on those drive starters. Like, I'll be very curious if, you know, to look back at that play and what were they doing? What were they trying to do, you know, with him out on the field on that one?
It's so weird. Yeah, they use him. They use Tyler Davis, a lot of guys like that as drive starters, which to me doesn't make any sense. I mean, take a play action shot or something on first down if you want to. Like, that's the time to do it. Amari has got to go. I know he got to play offense time today. Good for him.
Don't care.
He's got to go.
It's
you can't have ball security issues as a punt returner who doesn't make plays. How much longer can this go on?
I don't know if Kylin Hill can return punts. We know he can take kickoffs, but I was thinking when you said we've got an open roster spot, maybe they're saving it for Kylin Hill to come off PUP. But that still only, as far as I know, solves the kick return question. And actually, I think I saw they had Keyshawn Nixon back on kick returns today anyway, instead of Amari. So you still need to find a punt returner. Unfortunately, with all the drops that Doubs has had at this point, I don't know that I'm willing to trust him at that spot either.
Doubs is so weird because he has soft hands, but they're very weak too.
Yeah.
Like, he can pinch a ball out of the air unless you breathe on him. Right. Like, it's a very weird thing that he has going on, because he does make some pretty incredible catches at times. It's just like through contact, he's not going to keep a hold of that thing. And that's a real bummer.
It's a tough one. I mean, we had the fourth down. There was a third down conversion in there too somewhere. So, I mean, that's at least two, you know, drive killers that he had that go off his hands. And we can talk about Rodgers, you know, and his accuracy on some of those too, because I think that plays into it. And then on the fourth down, the whole Sammy Watkins brain fart with, you know, running an out and up instead of actually blocking his man. So, I mean, that certainly plays into it. But, dude, you've got to fight through traffic and hold on to the ball.
Yeah. Quick update. Jets, Broncos, Zach Wilson, who beat us last week, right? 4 of 8 for 17 yards, 2 sacks for 15. So he's had 10 dropbacks for 2 yards net against the Broncos. You're a bad football team. Have we officially agreed all the tweets and all the comments from the Packers players about how good the defense was looking in training camp was just a product of the offense was terrible? They had rookies out there. Jake Hansen was starting consistently at like right guard and stuff. had nothing to do with how good the defense actually was, right?
100%. It was the 2021 Jets factor that you're going up against a bad unit, so of course you're going to look good. Yep. Yep. No question. God.
Devondre pick six.
That's fun. Easily
the best moment of this week.
Oh yeah. No, that one or the Rodgers scramble, the second touchdown to Aaron Jones. As far as just a pure exciting play, that one I think takes the cake for me. And that's one of those, that's a classic Rodgers play. He actually escaped the pocket, something he hasn't done basically all season.
Yeah.
And, you know, made something out of a broken play and you know, tossed a dime to Jones in the front of the end zone. But the pick six was fun. And I don't know, how do we feel about Devondre's game overall today, though? He had a TFL on a swing pass too, but all in all, I thought he looked okay. He didn't look like bad Devondre that we've seen the last couple of weeks, but he's still not like all pro player caliber pro player like he was a year ago.
I agree with that. I mean, it's a C, maybe B minus grade game for a guy who's had a bunch of D's and F's. So at least it's trending in the positive direction. I mean, could have been worse. The other thing too, like we're talking about like plays that usually don't happen a lot. We were talking about that earlier. Jair got bombed by Terry for a touchdown. Just sneezed. He got bombed by Terry for a touchdown. I don't know how many times that's going to happen. So like, obviously that kind of opened the game up, right? I mean, that's when Heinicke was really struggling and all that, and he hardly had any passing yards and neither did the Packers. I think that was kind of a tipping point in the game, and Packers just couldn't punch back. They just never have enough to punch back.
Yeah. Well, and you definitely aren't going to be able to punch back when you keep having self-inflicted wounds. All the penalties that they had today, you know, a couple of dumb ones on defense, I still come back to the illegal contact call on Eric Stokes that wipes out the scoop and score touchdown from Rasul Douglas. I don't understand that call. It to my eye, it certainly didn't look like Stokes initiated any of the contact. I don't know. I don't see where the penalty is there. And that's another one where if that flag isn't thrown, that's 7 points going the other way, and you've got a totally different ball game. And we're talking about how the defense has, you know, put up two touchdowns instead of, you know, is unable to get off the field in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I thought the defense has been playing better. Even the Jets obviously was frustrating watching them get worn down, but they did get worn down. And then they did have that goal line stand at the very end of the game. It wasn't like the Giants game where it's just like, holy crap, we just can't. We can't play defense anymore.
Right.
One last thing before we get to the vibe checks. Did you see the Jay Sternberger tweet?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the best tweets I've seen in a long time.
Jay Sternberger, former Packers tight end, who was famously, at least in terms of like the Packers blogosphere, was drafted one pick ahead of Terry McLaurin, tweeted out, "I can't believe the Packers didn't draft McLaurin after he had that touchdown on Jair." Everyone in the comments is just like, it's just emojis. All it is random emojis.
Oh, my God.
Good for him. Seems to have a sense of humor.
Yep.
All right. Time for a break before we give the Packers terrible grades. We'll see you on the other side.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
And we're back. All right. Offense, grades, vibe check. The offensive line was good today.
Yeah. Better, yeah. Let's get into that a little bit, right? I mean, no Bakhtiari, which, all right, here we are sitting Friday afternoon. Bakhtiari practices all 3 days. We're feeling good. Then Saturday shows up on the injury report questionable. And then this morning, there's the report from Rappaport saying, well, with Bakhtiari maybe out, that's going to throw the Packers' whole plan of moving Elgton Jenkins to guard into flux and you know, questioning whether or not they're going to do that. Zach Tom comes in, plays left tackle, plays pretty darn good, I thought.
Yeah.
And this is what we've been calling for this whole time, right? Put Tom at right tackle, get Elgton back into guard, and profit. And it was the wrong tackle spot, but it still ended up working out pretty darn good for the most part.
Yeah. I thought the team played a whole lot better. I mean, obviously Jenkins looked like a fish out of water at tackle at times. I don't know if it was a left or right thing. It's worth noting, you know, they moved Jenkins to left guard and they pushed out John Runyon Jr. to right guard. So there was a whole swap on the offensive line for everyone starting other than Myers at center. Right.
So one thing I hadn't thought about was keeping Runyon and Nyman together, moving them from both together from the left side to the right side. And I hadn't thought about that until just now. I wonder if that was if it was for a continuity and a kind of chemistry thing rather than, you know, at the point once you realize that Bakhtiari is not going to play, you know, my thought was, all right, put Nyman back at left tackle and put Zach Tom in on the right side. But I do wonder if they kept Nyman there on the right side to keep him with Runyon and to keep those two guys together, because they've been playing together basically this whole season.
Yeah. It's weird because they've all kind of played on the left side, right? I mean,
yeah.
Jenkins recently has been playing on the right side, but everyone, for the most part, during their careers have been playing on the left. I like this because now it's like, okay, let's say Nyman doesn't look good at right tackle, right? Now you have film for Zach Tom. Like, now we have competition there. Like, all we're asking for is an open competition. I feel like none of us are asking for anything more than that. Like, on the defensive line, I would like to see TJ Slayton and I would like to see Devontae Wyatt getting just a couple more snaps so that we can actually evaluate these guys. Because I don't know if Devontae Wyatt's good or not. I don't know if he's terrible and going to be a bust and we drafted a 24-year-old rookie who can't get on the field. I don't know any of that because we haven't seen him on the field long enough to actually be able to evaluate him. I just want a little bit more open competitions in some of these spots. The offensive line, the defensive line, I think probably cornerback would have been a position that I would have wanted to see more competition at the slot up until recent weeks. But yeah, I mean, it's all we're asking for, because I understand it's probably not going to get better in season, but if there's a chance, I would like to take that chance.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And Tom's the guy that, based on what we saw in the preseason, there is clearly a chance of him contributing right during the regular season this year. He looked good as a tackle. And I thought he looked better as a tackle than he did as a guard in the preseason, just because he can get out and use his athletic ability a little bit better. And he is a little lighter. So the fact that it took this long for him to potentially get a little bit of run, and it was finally, like, right when the lineup was announced and we started seeing who the line was in warmups, it's like, yes, finally the prayers of Acme Packing Company have finally been answered and we finally get to see what this guy can do in some real game action. And like I said, I think he looked really solid, and you've got some good tape to work on. And it's not like he went up against a scrub D defensive line either,
they
right?
have first round picks across
the everywhere, board. Right? So he saw a lot of Montez Sweat, and I know they did a lot of stuff to kind of minimize his impact, right? The touchdown pass to Jones on the interior, they had Jones kind of chip him a little and then release. They did a few different things with giving Tom a little help, but even so, I thought he had a really good debut, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do moving forward.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to get a film breakdown on him up on the site at some point this week. Offensively, vibe check. I feel like I'm more confident in the run game right now than I was last week. I feel like the offensive line is getting better, but the wide receivers are disappointing, and Aaron Rodgers, what the hell? I mean, I understand it's not all on him, but he's also not playing well, and it's okay to say he's not playing well. There's like a weird camps right now where it's like he's either the worst person in the world or he's the best person in the world. And it's like, okay, we can admit like these five passes sucked. And then like these five passes, the wide receivers messed up. It's a both thing. It's not an either or thing.
This is not mutually exclusive. Everybody can be playing like kind of sort of crappy, and it's okay to acknowledge it. Agreed.
Yeah. So I think the O-line and the run game is trending up. I think the passing game is trending down.
Yep.
I didn't think was possible. Could you imagine coming in? Because I was fully aware of, like, I thought Romeo Doubs probably would start the year as the fourth wide receiver, which is what he was until some injuries came along, right? I didn't think there was going to be a savior in terms of the passing game, right? But I legit don't think I could have fathomed it being this bad.
Yeah.
Where you're completing one pass beyond 20 yards or beyond 10 yards in 35 pass attempts. I legitimately could not imagine post Devontae looking this bad this year.
Yep. I agree. And I think we all expected to get more out of Christian Watson early. I'm still like, we're going to have nightmares about that drop in Minnesota. We might have nightmares about that for years at this point. Like what could have been if obviously that's putting too much on the kid for one mistake, but it's amazing. And like now I'm at the point, right? Get Toure some runs, some like actual playing time, and see what this guy can do. Because he was a solid deep threat at Nebraska and Montana. He, at least in the preseason, it seemed like he had maybe a little bit stronger hands through the catch point than Doubs does. Doubs is, if you're within a yard of him and you breathe on the guy, he's dropping the football. So let's see what Toure can do, because what do you have to lose at this point? I'm starting to get to that point. Like next week in Buffalo, I think they're gonna keep the rotation going. They're going to drop to 5-3-5. They're probably going to get their asses kicked. And again, at that point, like now you're starting to move into future player eval mode, because
100%. Yeah.
Again, sitting at 3-5. Yeah. They made the playoffs at 4-6 in 2016 with the whole run the table thing, but it's really freaking hard to do that. And it's certainly not something that you can count on. You need to be getting some tape on some of these young guys and figure out what you can do with them, what you've got in them. And to your point before, I want to see some more Wyatt. I want to see some more Slayton. I want to see some Toure, and maybe if Kylan Hill comes back and gets a little healthy, maybe you mix him in a little bit as a change of pace and see if you've got something there for the inevitable Aaron Jones cap casualty, probably this coming off season. So,
By the way, how do you feel about that? Because watching these past couple games, man, like
he's all they got.
They got to keep him. Yeah, they have. That's their offense.
And like, look, today he got 17 touches, 8 carries, 9 receptions on 10 targets. Right. Some of that was just the fact that the offense had no flow whatsoever. But they're running everything through him, and even when they're not giving him a ton of touches, it feels like they're running everything still through him anyway.
Because it's like, yeah, they end up in split back gun, and then they motion the guys to the wings, and you're like, oh shit, Aaron Jones is lined up as a tight end. Be aware, Aaron Jones is lined up as a tight end. Like,
yeah,
he's the focal point of their offense.
Yeah,
he's more important to their offense. Who? Okay, let's do this.
Oh,
this is
boy.
An evil question.
Oh no,
question. Which would be more impactful, Aaron Jones going down or Aaron Rodgers going down?
I knew that's what was coming.
I think it's Jones.
Yeah, like I yeah. It's at least a conversation, right? It's at least damn close.
I don't think they can cap casualty Jones this upcoming year. That's why I'm like, we got to start having real questions about, like, I think Gary, right? Gary is playing so well, you have to give him the money. You have to. It's the reason why you drafted a developmental guy as your third edge rusher with like a top 10 pick, basically. And you developed him into who Gary is now, right? But then, like, once you start, like, right, Lowry clearly isn't going to be back. Amos, they had a decision to either extend him or mess around with his money and give him void years. They chose to give him void years.
I and, still like, don't Elton understand Jenkins, that one, but anyway. Yeah.
And Elton Jenkins, like, if he's going to get Quentin Nelson money, like, I don't know if they can afford that. Because if he's not playing at the, if he's not playing like Quentin Nelson, they can't get over the Rodgers deal, the Bakhtiari deal, and another major contract on the offensive line to not have a good pass protection and passing game. Like,
so yeah, here's the question with Jones, right? He's got a $20 million cap hit in 2023. So $7 million of that is a roster bonus. So we're going to know, you know, early on in March what they're going to do with him. But he's got probably $15 million that you can, between base salary and roster bonus, that you can spread out if you, you know, void, tack on a whole bunch of void years into 27 or whatever it is. So, you know, you could maybe get his cap hit down to like $6-7 million by spreading. Well, that's probably more like $8 million by spreading out the rest of that, you know, across the next couple of years. I think at this point you probably do it.
Yeah, you should. I think you should. The other thing too, Rodgers brought up a couple weeks ago, that, you know, obviously the development of the wide receivers is probably going to decide a lot if he's going to retire or not at the end of the year. Like, he was pretty candid about that. The Packers are on the hook for so much money if Rodgers does retire, that, like, a lot of that does depend on Rodgers, but, like, an ayahuasca trip to decide blow it up mode or not. Like, that's where we're at now. Like, Rodgers is – all decisions in terms of personnel have to go through the prism of viewing it through the lens of Rodgers and his contract and the dead caps, even though he retires. And if he retires, is the team going to go after his bonus? Who knows? Like, that'll have a cap implication and stuff like that. Remember Andrew Luck, when he retired, the Colts didn't go after his money. A lot of things that are going to hinge on this offense, which I think is, I'm going to say firmly a 4. Out of 10, the offensive line is trending in the right direction. Everything else is trending opposite, it feels like.
Yeah, I'm feeling even a little more pessimistic. I'm down at like a 3, and it's just because that there's been no semblance of deep passing game. Where is the under center play action stuff? Like, that's completely gone out of the playbook too, it seems like. So
I think what teams are doing, because Rodgers talked about this a little bit on, was it, I don't even know if it was McAfee. It might have been McAfee last week, where he was like, what teams are doing basically to the Packers, and it's a pretty damning thing that they're doing this and he's admitting it, is under center, they're playing him too high, right? Because they want to slash the edges. They want to cover deep shots. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Other than when Dylan and Mercedes Lewis are in the game, and then they spin into single high, and they're like, you're obviously going to run because Mercedes and Dylan are in the game. And then in the gun, teams are getting into one high because they want to stop the RPO. That's it. So I guess, like, the answer is, what, you run more against two high boxes, which, like, obviously, please do that. I like Aaron Jones. Give him the ball as many times as possible. But in the passing game, it's, okay, what are we going to do, take deep shots against single high safeties? That's what they've been doing. Those are all the sideline shots and the slot fade and stuff. So I don't know. And I don't know if talent is a problem. It's probably a problem to a certain extent, especially at wide receiver. But like, I don't think that's going to get fixed. It's October 23rd. Some guy isn't going to come in, learn a new system, and then everything's going to be hunky-dory. Like, it's an evaluation year. It is what it is. Beat McCarthy, eat at Arby's. Like, that's where I'm at for the season.
I'll drink to that.
Defensively, I feel better. I legit do. I know on the scoreboard it's over 21 points, and it's like usually 21 is like that line of like you win or lose ball games. But, you know, the muffed, right? The muff punt spotted a field goal at the very least. I think the team played pretty good. If you're saying Terry McLaurin is one-on-one with anyone, he's running up the sideline on a shot play, who do you want covering him? You would say it's Jair. Jair
every time.
On his hip. So like that one, you just kind of live with it, I guess. Yeah. So I don't know.
That was like, that was a ridiculous throw by Heinicke too. I think we need to acknowledge that. That was an absolute dime, and it's something he hadn't done the entire game up to that point. So hats off.
He had like 40 yards at that point in the game. It was ridiculous. I think I'll give the defense like a 6.
Yep.
I think they're trending in the right direction. They don't get enough penetration plays. Did Gary come back from the concussion? I remember he got pulled out and hadn't evaluated.
Yeah, I don't think I remember seeing him come back in after that point. So we'll have to monitor that throughout the week. Because Enagbare came in and got the sack next series, I think. But yeah, that'll be one to watch. So if he's out any length of time, obviously that's a rough one. But I'm with you on a 6. I'm just again, I'm chucking up next week as a lost cause, and you know, come back, try to, you know, beat Detroit, salvage some semblance of sanity before you have to deal with Dallas coming in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And then last one, special teams. Amari 0. Amari negative 10. The rest of the special teams like an 8. Like,
yeah.
You guys are fine. You guys are doing great, honey. Keep it up. Turn the locker room on Amari, and we might win some ball games down the stretch.
Can somebody please just drop a dumbbell on his toe?
Someone, what is it called? Is it like the I-5 murderer? Is that what his name is? The guy that the Packers had in camp?
Yeah. Oh my God.
He went to Portland State, my alma mater. Someone is in my mentions right now trying to get me to release Randy Woodfield from
the
Oregon State Penitentiary right now. So that's how Packers fans are feeling about this game.
Let's not go quite that far, guys.
Yeah, it's one step too far.
Everything I know about Amari is he seems like a pretty good dude. He's just not good at returning punts, and we need to make that not be a thing anymore.
It's crazy, man. I remember I looked it up on PFF and was like, all right, give me punt returner grades for the last 2 years, right? It was like second to worst last year coming into it. And this is a guy who, like, how can you be that bad, keep your job, and have ball security issues? I understand he's a draft pick. Goot, you're going to have plenty of time to develop your draft picks this season. I promise you. There's going to be plenty of time where you're not competing for wins or losses this year, where your draft picks, your pretty little draft picks, are going to get some playing time. They got to make a change at punt returner. It's ridiculous.
Oh my God. But again, like who does it now? I mean, at this point, again, throw Dobbs back there. Fine. I don't care. Yeah. If he's got rough hands, he can't do any worse than Amari has been doing. So I don't know. Well, speaking of getting draft picks some run, comment from Zach Tom in the locker room that just came across Twitter that says this is a little scary. He apparently didn't know he was going to start until this morning when he got to the stadium. But he said that on Saturday, you just see it the way Bakhtiari looks in practice. Sometimes you've always got to be ready. That's not a comment that really instills a whole lot of confidence in you. So he says pretty much any week with Dave, you just know the knee, anything can happen. So this is really no different than any other week.
Bakhtiari has a $23.1 million dead cap next year and a $29.1 million cap hit if he's not released. So this is one of the worst contracts in sports, in the history of sports.
Has to be. Yeah. And has to be. Again, you feel like I feel bad for the guy, but
I do too.
Yes, this is just this is brutal. Like, oh god.
A flight made him from a full go to being out for the game. That's crazy. Yeah, Roger said the same thing. He said he learned when everyone else did. So
yeah.
Crazy. All right, let's get you out of here. Let's get you out of here. Keep it up on the site, keep it up on the feed. We started off with bad juju this whole week. I didn't get to do Intercepted with Mark Bullock.
Yeah. Because
we had like five schedule changes. And then I was gonna record with Matub, and Matub at the Cheese Factory, all the power went out. So I'm like, dude, I gotta stay away from people. This week had Trap Week written all over it.
Yeah.
God. Washington is terrible, but we're also bad. We could easily lose this game. Is there any game? Detroit, are you confident we're gonna win that game?
No.
I'm not confident we're gonna win any game.
Amon-Ra, St. Brown, and Jamal Williams might go off for 300 yards combined against us in that game, for all I know. I don't know.
Just beat McCarthy.
Aiden Hutchinson might get four sacks in that game. Who the hell knows? Yes, just beat Mike, beat McCarthy, and we'll get the rest of the season as some development on these young guys and move on.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.